Woodsy, I need to tell you something. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
See, when I heard Freddie wasn't there, the evil part inside me, see, when you came to me,
yeah.
I was going to keep quiet and kid on, I wasn't there.
Do you
know? And how would you handle that, kid?
I don't even know.
I know, you'd have to start singing or something. Because...
It just crossed my mind.
I was sitting there like, you know that evil guy in James Bond with a cat. I can't remember his name, but I was sitting there like tickling the cat going,
Dr. Evil, Dr. No.
Yeah, Dr. Evil. I wonder what Woodsy would do if I just kept my mouth shut here.
I know what I would have done. There's some newspapers to my left. I would have just picked them up and started reading.
I know you would have.
And I said, look, back pit, I'd have made this noise. And I'd have said, back pages this morning.
Brilliant. I'd
have covered it up. The great thing about working with you and Mr. Brazil for so many years is that I'm used to... being thrown a little curveball.
Do you know what I loved? I loved the first, it must have been the first 6 months when you used to come in and do the back pages, and it took us 5 months before we went to a back page.
We never did. It was the most frustrating thing, Ali, because I would get in so early. I'd get in earlier than Alan Brazil, right? I'd get in that early, I'd review the back pages, I'd write copious amounts of notes. Alan would walk in and go, he'd look at the notes and go, what are you doing? You don't need those. And then I'd walk in to try and do the back pages, and I wouldn't even get to the first story because this would happen. We just end up chatting about absolutely nothing. Good practice, though, eh?
It was hilarious, actually, because you'd be sitting there prepped up to the eyeballs, and then we'd end up talking to you about Orange Club biscuits or Rich Tea biscuits or something.
It's literally it. There was literally, I loved it though. Do you know my favourite moment? One of my favourite moments, there's so many, but one of my favourite moments was when we were, me, you, Alan, we're in here. It wasn't even that long ago, it was only a couple of months ago. Do you remember your Bob story?
Oh yeah, that was a classic, wasn't it? It was hilarious, because that's the beauty of radio, right? Because nobody had a clue what we were laughing at. I was doing this impersonation of a goldfish swimming out of a goldfish bowl going, Bob. Bob, and of course, it tickled you and it tickled me. But Big
he wasn't Big having
Al,
it, was he?
Big Al was, and of course, that made it even funnier when the fact that Big Al wasn't having it and you and I were in hysterics, that made it all the better, didn't it?
It just gives me the giggles. I can't help it. Listen, Freddie's joined us again. Are you back, Fred?
Yeah, I just nodded off again. Here I am. I'm
back. To be fair, it's a bit boring, isn't it? There's no sport to talk about, so we'll allow you that. Listen, you are making your debut this morning, so I want to ask you a few questions about what you've been up to the weekend. If you weren't joining us at 6 a.m. To the listeners, we did cover a little bit of this. Earlier on, you were telling us that you were up late watching Tiger King last night. What time were you up till?
Yeah, I was watching the clock and it dragged me in. I wanted to see what was going on. Was it Carol Baskin? Carol Baskin. Carol Baskin. That's her, not Basket.
Baskin.
So I wanted to see. So I didn't. And then I've been watching a lot of CNN as well. So I got dragged into a bit of CNN.
Really?
The Situation Room with Wolf. I watched a bit of that.
Do you only watch things with animals in the title?
No, but he's a man. He's a man. He reads the news, this fella.
I gathered that. I didn't think it was genuinely all.
So it was 1 o'clock before I turned my light off, and then I must admit, I'd no sooner shut my eyes and then the alarm was going off this morning, so I had a quick coffee. And I'm feeling all right. I'm enjoying myself. Yeah. It's nice to get out of bed. The one thing I've missed in the past few weeks, probably like everyone else, is a bit of routine. Just got a bit lazy, staying in bed till 11, half 11. Mm. I need to get up and about and do stuff.
Are you homeschooling the kids?
No, I'm not. No. They're being schooled. It's the Easter holidays. So they've had a couple of weeks off. And I think they go back on Tuesday morning. And it's really good, actually, because they've got to log on the computer. They've got all the lessons. And they've got to sit there. Normal times. They get a break. They get a lunch hour. And they finish at 3:45. So I'm looking forward to the kids going back to school of sorts. But homeschooling, they're too old. They've surpassed me.
Ali, I feel like you'd be quite good at homeschooling. Have you had a go at it at all?
Oh, yeah. But our kids are the same as Freddie. They're kind of, they sit with a computer, but they're on Easter holidays, the same as Freddie's as well. But week before last, same, 9 o'clock, they got up in front of their laptops and they're online and they're doing their bits and pieces. And then they have a break for lunch, and then they do a little bit in the afternoon as well. But no, I must admit, if they're having a struggle, maths is about the only thing I can help them with, really, to tell you the truth. But I don't know about you guys, but certainly the problem now is they do maths and arithmetic in a different way that we used to do it.
What did you do, Ali? What was that? Maybe we were what is it?
they end up doing their maths and arithmetic in a different way than we used to do it. So, maths and arithmetic.
That's there better. We go. Just because you say it quickly doesn't mean you're saying it properly.
Okay. So effectively, I'm terrified to show them how to do something in case it's the wrong way to do it. But now, generally speaking, their discipline's been quite good. But if you're asking me, would they rather be outside kicking a ball and running about or sitting doing online schooling, I think you'll know what the answer would be.
We're going to focus our attention on a bit of sport now, and a bit of cricket as well, because Ali, I know you were watching this yesterday on Sky Sports. They relived some of the best moments of the year so far. Ben Stokes was awarded the Wisden Cricketer of the Year on Friday. We know he's had an incredible season. He's been involved in so much. His amazing performance led England to the World Cup glory again against New Zealand, and his Headingley heroics, the highlights of the Ashes. I mean, there's so much more really that can go on when you talk about Ben Stokes and what he's achieved recently. Freddie, you were that talisman once. Did you find it difficult dealing with the pressure? I'm not talking about big game situations now, like we covered earlier on, but more the idea that you were expected to lead by example and the eyes of the world really were on you.
Yeah, I think different types of players to Ben. I think Ben's got the opportunities now to move on and just be probably or possibly our best cricketer ever if he carries on in the vein in which he is. But when I had a bit of a purple patch and I had a few good years, the one thing which I could handle was I could handle outside pressure and the press and the public. That was one thing. But the only time I struggled when I put it on myself, because you start having some success, you bat, you ball, you're involved in the game all the time. And you almost want to do everything on your own and you expect too much from yourself. And for me, that's when things started to go wrong. Also as well, the captaincy didn't help me neither. It's one of them things where you're desperate to do, you get the chance to be England captain. It's something you've dreamed about. And I think for me, the thought of getting the job was far better than actually having it.
Why? So it'd be interesting. What was it you didn't like?
Well, I think I was involved enough and within a dressing room. Michael Vaughan was the captain for my career, and I was a good right-hand man for him. And I could lead in my own way through performance or however I was behaving. Where the captaincy, moving all the players about and worried about who's bowling next, it was a bit too much for me. And I couldn't switch off at night. One of my big things was I could go home, I could turn the telly on, watch Coronation Street, switch off, and then go back and do it all the next day. When I was captain, I couldn't concentrate on what was happening in the cabin. You know, it was so hard, you know. I think that's going to be one of the things that will crop up at some point in his career. But we've seen bits of him so far, and we've seen how good he is. But I think he can get better. I genuinely can. His bowling, especially, as a batter, he could bat number three. It's just so nice to see. And yesterday, I have to watch yesterday, just listen to his thoughts on the World Cup final. Must have been amazing.
Fred, I want to ask you, mate, because I look at recent England captains, and whether it's Cook or Joe Root or, as you say, Michael Vaughan, and if I can through a struggle in the captaincy, the first question they ask is it affecting is it affecting their own batting, their own performance?
Yeah.
But it must be twofold. I mean, if you're captain and you're an all rounder, it must actually you've got the potential for your entire game to go to pieces, have you not?
Yeah, there's probably two sides to it, Al, where there's when you're struggling as a player, it makes it so hard to captain. If you feel that you're not contributing or if you feel there's something wrong with your game, you just never seem to find the time or put the effort because you've got all these other things to think about to sort it out. But on the flip side, I had it probably for once in India on a tour where I was at the top of my game and being captain was just brilliant because I felt that if something needed to do it, I could do it myself. But when you're not informed and you can't do that, I struggled a little bit more. But ultimately, captains are as good as the team. You know, even so with the great Australian side. When Ricky Ponting was captain and you had Warne, you had McGrath, you had Hayden and all these guys, that was an easy job. But as soon as he started to lose McGrath, Warne started finishing, I think it was a different kettle of fish for him. So Yeah, you're only as good as your captain. But then every now and then there's captains come along which are a little bit different. I think for me, Michael Vaughan was one of them. He was perfect for me. He'd just give me enough leeway. And then if I started taking the mickey a bit, he'd pull me back in.
We're going to hear more from you, Freddie, in a minute. And we're also going to hear more from Ali McCoy. So I just wanted to give you an update on the poll that we put out. So this was our TalkSport Room 101, what we put in it. I put lycra-clad road cyclists in. Ali McCoy's put airport drop-off charges. And Freddie Flintoff put silver and bronze medals in. At the moment, leading is Ali with 48%. And that's the drop-offs. That's quite a lot, isn't it? And then just bringing up the rear quite closely is me with lycra-clad road cyclists, 45%. And then right down at the bottom is Freddie Flintoff on his debut on TalkSport Breakfast. Silver and bronze medals only got 7%. People don't agree with you. People don't agree with you. But no, the majority of people listening aren't actual sports people, I suppose.
Yeah, and I put a caveat on it as well. I did say I'm not sure if I'm right in this one. I need some help, but I'll stick with it. I think what will happen is people start listening, getting up, yeah, and having a coffee, they'll think, yeah, he's right. We're going to get involved.
Do you think the votes will swing as we get a little bit later?
No, because airport parking is an absolute disgrace.
Honestly, people are just writing down all of their grievances with airport parking. I think Ali's picked quite a good one there. Listen, stick with us because next we're going to do a few stories from today's papers. You are listening to TalkSport 7:46.
Traffic and travel on TalkSport with Swinton Insurance. We'll help you find the right cover for your car, home, bike, van, taxi and business. Visit swinton.co.uk.
Well, as you'd expect, it is looking pretty quiet across the country this morning. Of course, the government travel instruction is still to stay at home this bank holiday weekend and not make any unnecessary journey. It is a little bit sort of windy and stormy in some areas, though. So through Monmouthshire, we've got one lane closed on the M48 Severn Bridge because of strong winds. That's affecting traffic both ways. And through Anglesey, the A55 Britannia Bridge, also a warning of strong winds as well. But the motorway network across the country is clear. I'm Sarah Tilley.
It's all hands to the pump as TalkSport asks every listener to do their duty in the fight against coronavirus. There may not be much live sport about, but heavens above, we can jolly well talk about it all day and every day. Start your morning with the stylishly sleek new improved TalkSport breakfast. Followed throughout the forenoon from 10 o'clock by Force's favourites Jim White and Natalie Sawyer. Thereafter, it's bully beef and powdered egg for luncheon with the hilarious Hawksby and Jacobs brothers from 1 o'clock. Followed by the fiercest fighting radio rearguard action ever known with Adrian Dunham and Darren Goff from 4 o'clock. Sharp. Talk Sport, delivering the finest sports-related entertainment and information to home nation wireless receivers everywhere. Keep it on and stay informed. We can take it and we can jolly well give it back too. So do your bit. Make Talk Sport your work from home service. Stay at home, protect the NHS and save lives. Now wash your hands.
Conversation, early morning confrontation across the nation. TalkSport Breakfast with Laura Woods, Ali McCoys and Freddie Flintoff.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. 7:48. You're listening to TalkSport Breakfast. It's Monday, April the 13th. Hope you've woken up in a good mood. And if you haven't, this section might put a smile on your face. With the world as it is at the moment, we are pretty much bombarded with a constant stream of news. And it's hard to know what is what. So thankfully this morning we have two level-headed guests. Freddie Flintoff. Actually, this probably is more geared towards you, really. We're going to call it the time for the world according to Freddie Flintoff. So I have three stories. Basically, you might be able to balance each other out, Ali, with this one as well. Three stories collected from today's news sites and the column inches as well. So I want to know what you make of each story. So this first one is quite amazing, really. Tyson Fury, we had him on the show last week. He was brilliant. Everybody loves him and he has so many good things to say and inspirational things to say, but his takeaway habits are rather interesting. Now, he is feeding a family of five kids and his wife as well, Paris. But this is what he ordered. A stack of pizzas, four mixed grill platters, four chicken wing platters, two steak meals, 5 king prawn dishes, a Middlesbrough concoction of breaded chicken, which basically is but like chicken palm, basically. But then with it, he ordered 25 cans of Diet Coke. So after all of that, he wants to balance out a little bit with Diet Coke. This whole order came to £557, which is quite a lot of money, really, isn't it? What's the most? Ali, why don't we start with you? What's the most you've ever spent? Because you've both got big families, so I can understand how you could spend quite a lot. What's the most you've ever spent on a takeaway?
Well, I have to inform you, it's no 500 quid. We had a takeaway on Saturday night. We had one large margarita pizza, one large pepperoni and jalapeno pizza, and we had 14 chicken wings. 14? 14. But small ones, no big ones, you know what I mean? And to be fair, I think that came me about 45 quid. And
did you get a meal deal, Al? Did you get a deal?
I shop around, Freddie.
Mate, always ask for a deal. Now, don't take the first price. Just see what's going on. You can get them chicken wings thrown in, I promise you.
You can't haggle takeaways. In. You can't, surely. Can you haggle takeaways in Scotland?
Absolutely.
There's always a deal to be done.
Always a deal to be done. He's right. Freddie's 100% right. You know what I mean? You've got to say, well, what about that? What about some potato wedges if I go down this route and if I go down that avenue? You're absolutely, mate. I'm with you all the way.
You can fully understand it. So Tyson Fury, like I said, he's got a family of 5 kids and his wife as well, his missus. So that's quite a lot, really. But Freddie, I mean, in terms of spending £557 on a food delivery and all of this, and then you're bringing up the rear with Diet Cokes. Are we having it?
Well, that's always the thing, isn't it? Wherever you go, even if you go McDonald's and you get a Big Mac and fries, you do get a Diet Coke. Just try and make yourself feel that little bit better. Takeaways, I always get the same. There's an Indian down the road from us, and my order's the same every time. I get a tandoori mixed grill. I get me chapatis because I like a sweep. I get me sag. The kids have a coma. But it's not daft money. But my favourite takeaway, or probably my favourite restaurant, is Toby Carvery, over Carvery. And they do takeaways now.
They do Sunday takeaways.
Do they?
It's as good as it gets. 4 meats, gravy, veg, perfect. But Tyson Fury, that's a lot of money. That's like a 2-3 week shopping, not just a one meal.
That's a hell of a lot. There's another one here, David Beckham. This is an Instagram. What is it exactly here? It's another food story. He posted a photo of his meal, sausage and mash with coleslaw on the side. So he's done it again. Basically, he's added baked beans and coleslaw to a heap of shepherd's pie, basically. Is it ever okay to put baked beans with a side of a proper meal?
Yes, but it's not okay to do it with coleslaw. I had words regarding Freddie. I had words with David regarding this. I mean, how can you possibly... What did he have? It was coleslaw initially with what was it again? Was
coleslaw
it?
Next to gravy.
Right, that's not on. Tell you now, that's not on.
You're not having that.
No, you can't have that. You can't, and you can't have beans with the gravy as well. You've got to have them away the other side of the plate. You need to have them away at the road. You can't have your beans infiltrated by gravy, man. It's a non-starter.
You can't mix your fluids.
I'm with you on that. But I get into these things, mate. I get fixated on stuff. And at the minute, I have to have like this spicy mayonnaise with my food, and I'm not even sure if I like it. And then the other thing I have is like last night I cooked and I did some steaks and some oven chips, and then what I had a dish, not on my plate, a dish of mushy peas, and I had to wait till after I've eaten my steak to then have my dish of mushy peas, and my meal's not complete without the mushy peas at the minute.
I don't know if you find this, but basically I have to have, if I've got something on the plate, say it's like a fry up or like a roast or something like that, I have to have a piece of every different item on the plate in one mouthful. I can't separate it. My brother Luke basically eats one thing after another, like a series of different pieces of food. But what's the point? Surely you should have it all in one.
That is a debate that we could talk for hours about, would you? And I've got to say to you, I'm a little bit like yourself. If I'm having my fry up, there's got to be a little bit of egg with everything. So a bit of sausage, a bit of bacon, a bit of black pudding, I'll fling a mushroom in, but there's got to be a wee bit of egg as well. There has to be a little bit of egg. So no, I'm with you in that one, would you? I agree with you. Whereas my wee fella, he'll just have a bit of sausage, eat it, and then a bit of, you know what I mean? Doesn't he do it for me at all?
I like everything.
Just going on to that, like international buffets, I've got to be careful. Because I'll be having a crispy duck pancake with lamb roger and Josh on the top. I just like to mix it all up, man.
That is horrendous. I've got one more story for you. Sir Kenny Dalglish, it was brilliant news actually. He was discharged from hospital and he did test positive for COVID-19 and he was treated basically for a separate condition and then obviously that as well. So his friends have disclosed that in a bid to, well, basically to get the hours away, he became addicted to the television series Vera. I didn't actually know what this was, I'll be honest. Listen to this. So King Kenny received plenty of calls while in hospital from the likes of Alan Shearer, Teddy McDermott, but he's not a fan of being disturbed when he's watching that, basically. I didn't even know. I had to ask the producer what this was. DCI Stanhope, apparently, solving crimes. And it's a woman, right? Are we saying Vera is a detective, ultimately? Do you guys watch this? Do you know what this is?
No one knows
what it is.
Like Murder, She Wrote?
That's exactly what I said to my producer. I was like, listen, I will watch that all day long. Murder, She Wrote. When I was at uni, I used to watch it. Absolutely loved it. What was her name again? Murder, She Wrote. It was Jessica Fletcher, wasn't it? Jess Fletcher, she was an absolute legend. Did you watch Come On, Ali? You must have watched that.
No, I didn't. I've got to say, which I'm sorry to disappoint you. I didn't. What? That's poor, isn't it?
Are you serious? Fred.
Was Murder, She Wrote not Angela Lansbury?
Is that her? Is that the one that was in Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
Oh, dear me, you're asking
I tell you
now.
What, we are giving an absolutely comprehensive cover of this morning, aren't we? We don't know what Vera is. Half of us aren't really sure what Murder, She Wrote is, but we watch it anyway.
Kenny loves it.
Kenny absolutely loves it. I mean, these are the kind of things that we're all doing in isolation to just while away the time. I tell you what, I'm getting addicted to new and different things on TV. We were talking about Tiger King earlier on. I'm obsessed with it. I'm about three episodes in, I think. Maybe about six. Is it six in total?
What, I don't know.
On Tiger King. I feel like there's about six or maybe eight in total and about three in at the moment. It's absolutely gripped the nation. If you're clever, you want to, you put something out now, really, wouldn't you? Like if you were a television company, you're holding something back, I would absolutely just stick it out now.
I remember the one which I really, Freddie, get hooked on eventually. It took me a while, by the way, because all the boys were into it. We used to get in the dressing room and have a blether and it was Breaking Bad. And I watched the first couple and I went, nah, I can't. And I remember one last, he says, Coyste, you've got to stay with it. Stay with it. Hang in there. And I did. And then it was just unbelievable. Staying up to about 3 a.m. watching these episodes of Breaking Bad. It was just fantastic.
Right, we're going to get more on everybody's television habits throughout the show until 10 a.m. But next, we're going to be speaking to Sir Jackie Stewart. And this is after the sad news of the weekend, the passing of Sir Stirling Moss. So we're going to talk all about his career, how incredible he was, and just how his influence on the world of motorsport will still live on. 7:57.
TalkSport Breakfast with ArnoldClark.com. Now reserve your next car for £99 from the comfort of your own home.
Hello, I'm Robbie Knox, host of Football Legends, the show where we read the very best and very, very worst stories from footballers' autobiographies. Every episode, I'm joined by the men who wrote the book on footballers' books, Dan Trelfer and John Smith. And also the Pelé of League Two football, Martin Gritton.
I was once carried off in training after a fainting fit caused by eating too many sausage and egg McMuffins before we even started.
Football Legends, available exclusively on Spotify.
Right now, TalkTalk TV and Faster Fibre is just £25.50 a month, fixed for 18 months. Plus, you get a year of Amazon Prime on us, over 80 Freeview channels, all the on-demand players and average speeds of 38 megabits per second. Plus, unlimited one-day delivery, thousands of movies, TV shows and more from Amazon. Massive entertainment package, tiny price. Save more to spend on popcorn. Search TalkTalk TV. TalkTalk for everyone. Offer ends 22nd of April, subject to availability. T's and C's apply.
Check!
Drive with Adrian Durham and Darren Goff. Home Time Radio you can trust for scrupulously double-check breaking sports news.
Check.
For thoroughly genuine opinions, passionate detail and rugged debate.
Check.
High-quality recommended Drive Time Radio.
Check.
Check out Drive with Adrian Durham and Darren Goff.
Check.
Weekdays from 4 on Talk Sport with Checkatrade. Search over 36,000 recommended trades and services today.
Checkatrade.com.
TalkSport Breakfast with ArnoldClark.com. Now reserve your next car online with only £99 deposit.
Talk Sport.
Talk Sport.
Keeping you informed all day, every day.
Good morning. You're listening to TalkSport Breakfast. If you missed anything from the 2 hours that we've already been broadcasting, it's basically about Vera that all of us didn't really know what that was. And someone has just texted in and said, absolutely godsmacked. Vera, Brenda Blethyn. I actually know that name. Best detective show ever, bar none, apparently. So we've offended quite a lot of people. Angela Lansbury played the character of Jessica Fletcher. That's from James Gray. We will get into a little bit more, a little bit more sport eventually. Someone else has tweeted in saying, Vera is...